Okay. Good morning, everyone. As part of the program, we're supposed to learn about Mashiach and our role in helping the coming of Mashiach, being more sensitive and wanting Mashiach. So what we're going to do today is, I think, something that's very practical and hopefully should enhance yours as well as my own davening, is I want to discuss the 15th bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, and I want to learn through the bracha and talk about what exactly we're davening for in the 15th bracha of Es Tzemach David, this bracha of asking for Mashiach. If you have a sitter handy, certainly feel free to write down anything you feel is meaningful, any ideas that we share that can enhance your own davening going forward. It is probably one of the more complicated brachos. The Hebrew is difficult, the concepts they're talking about is difficult, and therefore it is beneficial to us to go through and to discuss exactly what we are davening for in this bracha of Es Tzemach David. So let's go through the basic Hebrew and the English that you have in front of you, and then we'll go into some of the details. The bracha starts, Es Tzemach David avdecha meheiros hatzmiach, that the offspring of your servant David should flourish, and enhance his pride through your salvation, because we hope or we wait for your salvation all day. Baruch ata Hashem, Masmiach Karen Yeshua. Blessed are you, Hashem, who causes the pride of salvation to flourish. Now, what we just said is hard even in English. Even the English translation of this bracha is not clear. What are we davening for? What do plants have to do with Mashiach? And there's a Karen involved. Isn't a Karen a horn? The whole bracha is very confusing, and it requires a little bit of explanation to figure out what we're doing here. Now, just to note, the Tosefta, one of the books of Torah Sheval Peh, says that the bracha of V'yushlaim Yerucha and the bracha of Es Tzemach David are really one bracha. Now, we don't follow that opinion. We follow the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yud Zayin that says that these are two separate brachos. So we're going to learn these brachos separately. We're just going to focus on Es Tzemach David today. Let's look at the first line. The first line says, Es Tzemach David avdecha meheiros hatzmiach. The Eitz Yosef, which is a commentary on the Siddur, says that this refers to Mashiach ben David. Perhaps we're familiar with the concept that there's Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef is the Mashiach that's going to come and lead us into battle. He'll eventually die in war. And Mashiach ben David will be the king who will lead the Jewish people after everything has settled down. In fact, the Navi Zechariah writes in Perek Vav, Hinei Ish Tzemach Shemo, that we refer to Mashiach as Tzemach, his name is Tzemach, Umitachtav Yitzmach, he will flower up, Uvinei Yisheich Hashem, he will rebuild the base of Emesh. So we see, already in the Navi, that the name Tzemach is a reference to Mashiach. Now, what exactly is the connection? What's the relevance between Mashiach and a plant? A Tzemach means a plant, a flower, something like that. What's the connection between the two? It seems to be an odd a comparison between the two ideas. So, the Rinas Chaim, which is a commentary on the Shemoneh Esrei by Rabbi Chaim Friedlander, so he says that a seed first decomposes before the plant actually grows. So too, there will be difficulties and painful things that occur before the coming of Mashiach. That's one way that Mashiach is compared to a plant. In addition, plants go very, very slowly. It can take a long, long time to grow, and so too the process of the Geula, the coming of Mashiach, can be slow as well. And the Rinas Chaim then goes on to say that David is referred to as David Avdecha, your servant, because the purpose of Mashiach is to serve Hashem by bringing Klal Yisrael closer to Hashem. The Mashiach serves Hashem by bringing us closer to Hashem, and therefore he is the servant of Hashem who's acting on Hashem's behalf. Now, a major theme, and perhaps the most important theme in this bracha, if we walk away with anything from today, is that we are not simply davening for Mashiach to come. What we are davening for is for Mashiach to come quickly and sooner than perhaps he was supposed to come. And we're going to return to this again and again. You have in front of you a piece from the Maharal, in his Nesivos Olam and the Nesiva Torah Perek Yudal. And the Maharal says that this bracha doesn't begin with a verb. Almost every single other bracha of Shemoneh Esrei starts with a verb. For example, Rifa'enu Hashem should heal us. Bareichleinu Hashem should bless us. Again and again, Hashem is referred to as in his actions. Hashem should do this, Hashem should do that. But in this bracha, it doesn't say, as the Maharal says, Tatzmiach lanu tzemach David. Hashem, you should cause for us to grow or to plant the coming of Mashiach. That's not what it says. It, like it says in Shema Koleinu. What it says and says is, what it says in the other way is, Tatsmiach lanu mehiras tzemach David. That apparently says the Maharal, that the Malchus based David, Mashiach, has already occurred. Malchus based David, the process of the coming Mashiach, doesn't have to be restarted. It's not like Hashem presses a button and says, ah, let's go, it's time for Mashiach. Because David HaMelech and his line, the kingship, is permanent once David ruled. What we want is for the seed to become actualized. We're not creating a new seed. The Malchus based David is there already, and we are awaiting for it to reach its potential. Therefore, we don't need an action to get it started. The Tzemach, the plant, is already there. And we're asking Hashem, Mashiach, who's already in waiting, let's bring it forward. Let's get it started. Let's go quicker. You know, when you start a project, whatever your project is, you're going into a business, or you're deciding what to do this summer, you're going to seminary, you don't know whether you're going to succeed or not. You don't know how it's going to work out. We have a question. Will this project be successful? Will this project not be successful? However, Hashem is different. Says the Maharal, there is no question about whether something Hashem does is going to take place, will or will not happen. The question is not if, but rather when. When will it take place? And the purpose of everything in creation is that something that has already been there from the beginning of time. The Mashiach is guaranteed to come. That's not a question. What we're davening for in our Shemona Esrei is that it should happen quicker. And that is really the yesod, the foundation of this bracha. In fact, the Chassam Sofer, in the Toras Moshe, in Parshas Beshalach, so he says that it's a lack of emunah, it's a lack of bitachon to daven for Mashiach to come, that a Mashiach should eventually come. Why? Because Hashem promises us that Mashiach is going to come. Hashem promises us there's going to be a geula. It's been guaranteed. Rather, your kavana, your intention in Shemona Esrei should be that it should come sooner. It should come faster. And we're going to talk about how to do that with our davening in a moment. Let's move on now to the second line. What's the second line? V'karno tarum b'yeshua secha. So here we have this interesting thing about a horn. What's with the horns? Mashiach, what is Mashiach, a unicorn, a rhinoceros? What's going on over here? So a keren, a horn, is a reference to glory and power. The horn is what an animal uses to defend itself, to attack. The keren here is translated as pride, glory, power. The strength of Mashiach should be raised up. V'karnu tarum, you should be raising up Mashiach's power and strength. Make Mashiach great. The Eitz Yosef said this is referring to Mashiach ben Yosef. In Dvarim, in Perek Lamed Gimel, in the bracha that Moshe gave to Yosef, it says, V'karnei re'im karnav, that Yosef has power, the power of a horn. So we see that horns are connected to Yosef, and perhaps the idea of Mashiach ben Yosef. Now, here we use the word Yeshua Secha. In Judaism, are there perfect synonyms? Do we ever find two words that mean exactly the same thing? No? Ladies, do we ever find two words in Hebrew that mean exactly the same thing?
No.
What, for example, right? Is Amar the same thing as Diber?
No.
There's nuances, right? Amar is to speak softly, Diber is to speak harshly. So the same thing over here. There are two words in Hebrew that mean to help, but they're very different. In modern Hebrew, how would I say to help somebody? How would I say to help somebody?
To help, like lazor.
Yeah, lazor, to help. Now, in the Torah, the word Yeshua can also mean to help, but there's a difference. The difference is that Yeshua means to help somebody without them helping you at all. Lazor, Ezra, means to help somebody while they're helping you as well. For example, you see somebody carrying something heavy, and you go in together with you and them, you carry together. That's la'azor, that's to help while they help themselves. Yeshua means that you see an old lady who can't carry her packages, and you go and you take everything from her, and you carry it for her while she walks next to you. That's Yeshua. That's helping somebody without them doing anything on their own. So when we say Vekaratun Bishu Asecha, what we're saying is Hashem, you can bring Mashiach, you can save us without us having the Zechuyos, without us having the Mitzvos. This idea is brought down in the Avnei Eliyahu, on the Siddur of the Vilna Gaon, that Mashiach can be a Yeshua, where Hashem steps in and brings Mashiach, even if we don't deserve it. And this is the idea that we find in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Mashiach can either come Bito or Achishena, in its right time or sooner. Hashem, you can bring Mashiach before the predetermined time. And therefore we say, you can bring Mashiach all on your own, even if we don't have the mitzvos and the zechuyos. So we're going to discuss this right now in the next line of Ki Liyushuas HaKivinu Klayom. This is one of the more complicated lines in this already complicated bracha. What does it mean, Ki? And what does it mean, Kol Hayom? So let's discuss Kol Hayom, that we await, we desire the Yeshua, the saving of Hashem, kol hayom, all the day. I would have said kol yom, all day. What does it mean, all the day? So there's two explanations. The first is from Rav Shalom of Neustadt. Rav Shalom of Neustadt was one of the great tzaddikim, one of the Rishonim, and he says that kol hayom refers to a Rashi, a comment of Rashi in Tehillim Perachafei. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Osa kivisi kol hayom, for you, Hashem, all day I long. And Rashi says this refers to this world. Kol Hayom, in this world, before Mashiach comes, which is the day for the nations of the world, for the enemies of the Jewish people, and it's night for the Jewish people. It's light for our enemies, and it's night for us, right? It's light. Seemingly those people who march on our capital and wear and carry anti-Semitic slogans, they seem to be on top. They seem to be powerful. And what can we do to stop them? It seems to be light for them, and night for us. It's a scary time. And therefore, when we say kol hayom, what we're saying is, in this world, where those who do the wrong things are on top, we await the times of Mashiach when things will be reversed. We're waiting to get out of kol hayom, this world, so we can go to the next world, where the tzaddikim are on top, and those who are rishayim are on the bottom. That's one explanation. The other is from the Briska Rav, and also the Shomer Amunim, and his Maimer HaGula, who they both explain that we see from here that a person must anticipate all day for Mashiach to come. Kol Hayom, it is a mitzvah that follows us all day long. We'll return to this in a moment. Now, in the Sharei Tshuva, which is printed in the Mishnah Berurah, in Simen Kuf Yud Ches, he cites the Sefer Nagid U'Mitzvah of Rav Yaakov Tzemach. You have the piece in front of you. And he says two things. He says the first thing is, he says, or actually go in reverse order. The first thing is that in the bold he says Tzemach v'gamani mechavein letzapos liyushuas Hashem she'osei imanu latzilenu mikama pegim. A person when they say Es Tzemach David, they are allowed to daven for personal yeshuas. A person who's struggling, a person who wants to get married, a person who wants a parnasa, a person who wants to get into the right, you know, the right school. You can say, Hashem, I'm waiting for you to save me and to bring me to Yeshua. That's one. But to get back to Mashiach, he notes that the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, teaches us that when each one of us will have to give an account in Olam Haba for our actions in this world, one of the questions we're going to be asked is, Tzipisali Yeshua, did you await the coming of Mashiach? Did you await for the Yeshua? Did you truly want and hope every single day for the coming of Mashiach? And the Arizal says, and he quotes this from the Arizal is in the Sefer Pri Eitz Chaim, by the Shemona Esrei, he says that the place in davening where one fulfills the mitzvah of Tzipis the Yeshua, where you hope for the coming of Mashiach, is in this expression. Your kavana should be when you say the words, Ki Yeshuascha Kavinun Kol Hayom, is that Hashem, I want Mashiach to come. And I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of awaiting Mashiach, that we hope for your salvation all day. And therefore, you should have kavana to be mitzapel Yeshua, to wait for Mashiach when praying, that the final redemption should come in our day. That is something that we should all write and make note of in our Siddurim, that we are fulfilling the mitzvah of Tzibisli Yeshua when reciting those words. The Chidah, in his Midbar Kademos, goes further. And he says, why do we say Ki Lushuaska Kunoyom? We don't have that expression anywhere else in Shemoneh Esrei, where we say, Hashem, answer my request because I do this. It doesn't appear anywhere else, right? Re'ena, we don't have it. Every single time it says ki al go'al chazakat ata, it's referring to Hashem, because Hashem, you are this person, right? Slach lanu, we tell Hashem, ki al tov v'slach ata, because you are merciful. And in Barech Aleinu, Ki Al Tovu Meitivatza. You are powerful because you can do these things. But I says the Chida, I don't understand. We're saying Ki Lishuasa Kimin Lakayom, because I do something? What does that mean? What do you mean because I do them? Shimon Esther is about what Hashem can do. What does me waiting for Mashiach have to do with it? The whole bracha is backwards and inside out. So the Chida quotes a medrash in the Yalkut in Tehillim that says that the very desiring of Mashiach to come can cause Yeshua and the arrival of Mashiach. Even if we don't have enough mitzvos and enough zuchios, we're not such great tzaddikim. We're trying our best, but we're not there. If you have enough of a desire, says the Chida, that desire can bring Mashiach. The very desire and wanting of Mashiach is part of the process of bringing Mashiach. We're going to develop this idea a little bit more. Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes in the Pri Tzadok in this week's Parsha, Parsha Shmos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also acts kamayim hapanim lepanim, like looking in a mirror. If we want Hashem to remember us and pay attention to us and give us what we need, we also need to remember Hashem and focus on Hashem and feel that we have bitachon and amuna that there's going to be a geula. And this in turn will bring the coming of Mashiach. Question, yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. So hold off on that question. Remind me at the end and we'll get back to that question, okay? Yeah. Who was that?
Jenny.
Okay. So let's develop this a little bit more. Rav Yonasan Eibishitz, the great tzaddik, the Rebbe Rav Yonasan, writes in his Yaros Dvash, and he says the same idea as the Chida, that if you want Mashiach enough, we can bring Mashiach, even if we don't have the merits and the zuchuyos. And then he says, if Mashiach has not come in our time, perhaps it is because we do not really desire his arrival as we profess, which is a very harsh thing to say. If we really wanted Mashiach, he would have come. But it must be from the fact that Mashiach has not come that there are not enough Jews who want Mashiach to come. There's a beautiful story about the Chafetz Chaim that brings this out. The Chafetz Chaim said that once when Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin, the rabbi of Brisk, retired from his position, they sent a delegation of lay leaders to Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Beis HaLevi, inviting him to become the new Rav. But the Beis HaLevi refused. And they argued and they pleaded, but nothing could persuade the Beis HaLevi to change his mind. And finally, in desperation, one of the Jews from Brisk said, Rebbe, 25,000 Jews are waiting for you. How can you disappoint them? And the Beis HaLevi had no choice but to accept. His love for Klal Yisrael would not permit him to refuse such an earnest entreaty of 25,000 Jews. And the Chafetz Chaim continued, do we imagine that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is less sensitive than the Beis HaLevi, Rabbi Soloveitchik? If this Gadol cannot disappoint the 25,000 Jews of Brisk, surely Hashem will not disappoint the millions of Jews who beg for the coming of Mashiach with all their hearts. And the Chafetz Chaim felt that if the Jewish people sincerely wanted Mashiach to come, the Mashiach would come. Apparently, our desire is not in the right place. And that's why Mashiach is not here. Ki lishuascha kivinu kol hayom. Because we desire your coming of Mashiach all day long. And that should be enough to bring Mashiach. Rav Yonasan Eibishitz, I brought for you in the last source, says that simply, I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but a Jew should shed a tear without restraint when he recites the tefillos for rebuilding Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash and for returning Malchus Beis David. And if we don't have Yerushalayim and the reign of Malchus Beis David, then we don't have life. We're missing out on life in its fullest sense. And if the Malachim in Shemayim can weep over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we cry over what, from our viewpoint, is like a Chil Hashem? Every person is obligated to say in his heart that Hashem, I'm prepared to almost be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, to give up my life if I'm not worthy of seeing the Beis HaMikdash and the restoration of Malchus Beis David. That our eyes, says Rav Yonasan Eibishitz, wants to see nothing more than the realization of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina resting on Yerushalayim and Mashiach sitting with the rebuilt Beis HaMikdash, because our entire being should yearn for Kiddush Hashem. And the greatest Kiddush Hashem is for Mashiach to come and for Mashiach to sit on the throne as leader of the Jewish people in a rebuilt Yerushalayim. You know, what does that mean? What's that feeling we should be describing in our hearts? So I want to give a beautiful mashal that many of the Magidim, many of the speakers use to describe what it means to feel for Mashiach. Imagine for a moment that there's a chassan standing at a chuppah. And he's played the music down, and now it's time for the Kala's family to come down, the little flower girls come down, and it's very cute, and then the siblings come down, and the grandparents come down, and everyone is standing, and it's very exciting. We're getting ready to this moment for the Kala and her parents to come through, and they're about to open the big wooden doors to the room, and the music starts up for the Kala to walk in, and there's nobody there. And they're waiting, looking behind the door, and they're waiting, and the music keeps on playing, and they're looking behind another hallway in the bride's room. They go to check in the restroom, and they can't find it. And everyone's starting to murmur and to hush, and the chassan is standing there, getting a little sweaty, getting a little bit nervous, and they look all over the building, and they can't find the kala. And they walk back into the room. One of the brother of the chassan or a friend walks into the room where the chuppah is, and they walk up to the chassan, and they whisper into his ear, "We can't find your kala. We don't know where she is. She's gone. She's missing." Imagine for a moment and hold on to that feeling, the feeling of the pit in that chassan's stomach, for that moment of, "Where is she? I want nothing more in the world for her to walk through that door. That's the only thing I desire right now." That is the feeling that we are supposed to have. It's not an easy feeling to have, but that's the feeling we should be building up in ourselves when we talk about wanting Mashiach. Where is he? We want nothing more than to see Mashiach come and for the Gula to begin, the Gula to finish, so to speak, and for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. So let's now go through the whole bracha from top to bottom, and then we will pull it all together. So let's look at the words again. We're going to plug in everything else, everything we said into the words, and hopefully we'll walk away with a greater understanding of this very important but also complicated and deep bracha. Estzemach David Avdecha Meheres Atzmiach, Hashem. The Geula is already underway. The Tzemach David is there. But Mehera, let's move things along. Bring that Tzemach, that plant. I know it goes slowly. I know there's difficulties in raising a plant. But let's bring it along Mehera, quickly, as soon as possible. V'karnatun b'Yeshua Secha, the glory, the power of Mashiach. B'Yeshua Secha, you can bring that Hashem, even if we don't deserve it, because you can bring Yeshua, even without the merits. Ki l'Yeshua Secha k'binu kol hayom. And, do you know how we can bring this along? How we can bring that Yeshua? Because if we have kavana, and we have desire, and we long for Mashiach kol hayom all day, that can bring Mashiach. Ki l'Yeshua Secha k'binu kol hayom. That can bring Mashiach, just with our wanting and your desiring. Baruch atah Hashem. I know we generally translate it as blessed are you, but as we should know by now, Baruch atah Hashem really means Hashem, atah you, are Baruch the source. Hashem, you are the source of Matzmiach Ker Yeshua. You are the one who can cause the glory and the power of Mashiach to come with Yeshua by saving us. So that's the general overview of the Rambam. And hopefully, you know, for myself included, and for you as well, to have a little bit more kavanah, a little bit more understanding, a little bit more meaning and depth when we recite this extremely important 15th bracha.